Kayla. Don't be alarmed because of my clothes. I was told I looked like I was dipped in red dye. So now I know what I look like. All right. Well, great. So glad to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you today. We're going to be in the book of John, as we have been in chapter 6. And I'm going to take this off. I was watching a TV show the other day, kind of a documentary kind of thing, and they go around the world and look at different places in the world for health. And they were at this place called Sardinia in Italy. I'd never heard of it. How many of you have heard of this in Italy? Oh, my goodness. I think I'm the only one. Okay. Anyway, there's a place there where they go up into the mountains, and it's considered, what would be the term? It's where you live the longest. They have the longest lifespan of anywhere on earth. So they were investigating this, and as they were investigating this, brought up the subject of bread. So I want to talk about bread just a little bit. Now, when you think of bread, sometimes in these diets that we have today, it gets a bad rap. And, some of it's for good reason. You've got added sugar. You've got highly processed flour sometimes. There's gluten. But there's good bread with, you know, whole grains. And good bread has vitamins, that kind of a thing. Well, on this show, it was really interesting. When they started to look at what these people eat that live the longest, one of the biggest things they eat is bread. And they eat lots of carbs, which is another interesting thing. Yeah, this is like really good news, right? They eat a little protein, but not a lot. You know, and a lot of these diets that I've seen, I've even done it before, is tons of protein, you know. Many of you have done that, or maybe you're doing it right now. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. Okay. So, but, you know, they also eat lots of beans, fruits, and vegetables, of course. And they drink lots of goat. How many of you drink goat milk? Tell you what, if you eat bread and you have goat milk, you're going to live a long time. So maybe we need to switch. Maybe we need to switch. Now, of course, the bread that these people eat, very, very natural. It's got, wheat and barley, some of it. So it's a great thing. They live a long time. They seem very happy as they were eating their meals, but maybe it's because they were on film. But it's very interesting. Yeah, so there's a story in the Bible. You might wonder where I'm headed with this. Where Jesus feeds a bunch of people, and most of you have heard of this story, and it's also in the book of John, and Jesus actually feeds over 5,000 people, probably well over 5,000 people, with a few loaves of bread, a few fish, and it's an amazing, amazing story, and this bread must have been pretty great for Jesus to want to multiply it. Pretty amazing stuff. He's not going to multiply something, I suppose, that's bad for you. And so it was, in looking it up, it was probably made of whole wheat or barley. And so we're going to pick that story up right after that happens. And the multitudes come looking for him on the other side of the lake. And we're going to look at chapter 6, verse 25. You'd stop and pray with me just for a moment. Lord, I want to ask you, Lord God, to bring the word alive to our hearts, bring the word alive to our spirit. What an opportunity we have to come together, Lord God, as you've commanded, and it's an awesome thing to be together. And Lord, just want to pray that the Holy Spirit that links us together as brothers and sisters in Christ will also just bring that word of God to our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so verse 25 says this: when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Now, Jesus had just fed the 5,000, and he had just walked on the water. They didn't know he had done that. And the multitude comes looking for him. They had seen the disciples get into the only boat there, and they saw them all leave, and they saw that Jesus did not go with them. So they're like, "Well, how did you get here?" Okay, verse 26. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Okay, so they want to know how he got there. This is what Jesus always does. He doesn't really answer their question. He gets right to the heart of the whole matter, as he always does. He didn't say, "Well, it's because I walked on the water." You know, he doesn't say that. He just says, "Look, this is your situation. This is where you are." And he's saying that they're in awe of the fact that he fed over 5,000 people with a few loaves of fish. I mean, a few loaves and some fish, but they're missing the whole spiritual point of the miracle. So we're going to keep going. And verse 28, then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." All right. They say to Jesus, basically, Moses proved that he was a prophet by giving the children of Israel manna in the desert. And they're saying, "What sign do you show to us?" What just happened? He just fed 5,000 people right in front of them. And then they have the nerve to ask this question. So then Jesus replies. He says to them in verse 32, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." All right, we have bread. Jesus has an amazing way of getting right to the heart of the matter. And he says, you know, Moses didn't give the Israelites the bread from heaven. The Father did. And this was a symbol or precursor of what was to come, the true bread from heaven. Jesus is the true manna, the true bread, he himself. And as bread brings life to our bodies, the Father, through Jesus, gives life to the world. Verse 34, "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." But see, they're still not understanding the spiritual message of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus then speaks clearly, or so it seems. Verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." What a great promise. Amen. Yes. The Father's will is that everyone who looks to Jesus and believes in him for their salvation shall have eternal life forever. It's an amazing promise. And that's from Jesus himself. He said this. If you get afraid sometimes about death, remember, Jesus said this himself, okay? That we can have life everlasting. Verses 41 through 49, if we continue on, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that he is the bread that came down from heaven, sent by the Father, to give eternal life. And they begin to understand that he is claiming to be the giver of life. So that they start to grumble when they really start to get a little bit of what he's trying to say. Because they're like, hey, we know this guy. We know his parents. He's just like us. What's he saying? And then Jesus says something rather cryptic. This is really, just think, not knowing what you might know today, here's what Jesus says in verse 53, jumping down a little bit. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Kind of strange verbiage by the Lord. But spiritually speaking, he is our sustenance as food and drink. That's what he's saying. As food and drink are how our body sustains itself, spiritually, Jesus is our sustenance. He's the bread of life, and it's the way to eternal life. And by his coming death, the body and the blood, and his resurrection, we have eternal life. There is also a correlation. Yeah, and if you've never heard that before, you might have heard a lot of things, the name of Jesus thrown around. You can have everlasting life, and it's because Jesus died and rose again. He died on that cross, and he rose again. And I'm going to get back to that just a little bit later, so hold on to that. And there's also a correlation between his words of flesh and blood with communion. As you know, we're going to partake of that next week as we commemorate his death, burial, and resurrection. So that'll be next week. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7-10. I'm going to read that in just a second. The crux of the matter. Jesus speaks to the multitude in spiritual language. I'm going to change just a little bit of my direction. They see only from a fleshly or natural perspective. And if you were there and you didn't have the Spirit of God enlightening your mind and your heart, then you would have been there too. You would have been there too, looking at it from a natural perspective. And they're never going to get it. They will never understand fully or believe with natural eyes and ears. They must see and hear with spiritual eyes and ears. But how? And this is given by God himself. Here's the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul tells us, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." The Apostle Paul is talking about what for centuries they wanted to know, which is Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, the hidden mystery. "But as it is written in verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And a lot of people stop there, which is fine, because it's talking about heaven and how great heaven is, and that nothing we have seen or heard is going to prepare us for how great that is. But then verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So if we depend on natural wisdom like these people were doing, we're going to make huge mistakes. We're not going to know the right thing to do in the times that we live. This is really, really important, what I'm going to say to you today, not because I'm saying it, but because the Word of God says it. And this is how we're going to thrive in the days that we live in. There's lots of things in the natural your eyes can't see or your ears hear. And if the leaders could have seen, we just read, then they wouldn't have crucified Christ. But they didn't see it. They didn't see who he really was. The religious people helped to crucify him. They didn't see it. They couldn't see spiritually. But verse 10 said, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, so our eyes can see and our ears can hear. It's going to affect every choice that you make. It has in your past and it will in your future. And then verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So we can know by the Spirit. It's through the Spirit you can see, and through the Spirit you can hear. I remember, as many of you know, I was saved at the age of 21, and just very briefly, I was raised Catholic, and so I had some of that knowledge of the Bible, but honestly, I couldn't hardly tell you a story in the Bible. I heard of Samson, but then I would always think of, once in a while, I would watch that show. You remember that show? What was that? It was like I think it was a Mormon show, actually. What was that called? Anybody remember? Anyway, it was this show. I just thought of it just now. I should have just left it alone because I don't remember it. But anyway, but that's what I thought of was this. I think Samson was a dog, now that I think about it. So I didn't know any of the stories. But when my life was falling apart through drugs and alcohol and just tearing me up, tearing my mind up, I tried to read the Bible, and it didn't make any sense to me. I had no background for it, and even if I would have, I wouldn't have really understood it, how it applied to me. But after I received Christ, the very next day, I opened a Bible, and it spoke directly to me the next day, because the Spirit of God had come to live in me, and he had enlightened my mind and my heart. So all of a sudden, it's like it jumped off the page. And I tried to tell everybody. And they, of course, they didn't understand. I worked at a restaurant called Vips at the time on the freeway. And I went in there, and I'm like, look, you guys, you know I'm not crazy. This is real. This is real. And see, look, in the Bible, look at the Bible. And I mean, they're looking at me like, what in the world are you smoking? You know, they thought I was just out of my mind. So it doesn't quite work that way. But anyway, let me speak for a moment to those who already have a personal relationship with Christ. You're going to need to hear the voice of the Spirit in these crazy days we live in. And you may be getting told, or you're reading a lot of scary things that could happen. Now, I'm not saying there won't be a lot of challenges for us in the coming days. There may be. Don't listen to everything you hear. Don't listen to everything. Don't pay attention to everything you read. Just line it up with the Word of God, and we know that there's no fear in the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Okay. Just be wise. Be wise in these coming days. And but part of being wise, you're going to need to hear the voice of the Spirit. And remember this, that God's not going to leave us alone. He's left us his Holy Spirit to guide us. Don't need to fear. We're going to know what to do if we listen to his voice. The bread of life, Jesus, will never leave us nor forsake us. He's our sustenance. Think about this for a minute, though. Just as the goodness of bread can be stripped down of its minerals and vitamins to taste pretty good. There's bread out there, and I'm sure you never eat it, but it's been messed with, and it's not good for you. But just as that can happen, we can strip down the message of the bread of life, Jesus, so that the message loses its power. and you're gonna, and we hear this all the time, okay? I'm just gonna mention three things that can happen. One thing is, and don't misunderstand me when I say this, some people will tell you that if you're a Christian, that you can be wealthy, and that you never have problems. And, you know, to some of us that might seem funny, but a lot of people might believe that. And I'm not saying you can't be wealthy. You can. God gives some people that ability to bless others, okay? And it's a great thing. It brings along with it a lot of challenges. But we're going to have problems. Jesus said in John 16, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus says we'll have trouble. I don't like that, but it's the way it is. We're going to have trouble. Yeah. But he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. So he's not leaving us. Okay? Here's another thing. God loves you, but you don't have to repent of sin. Now, I talk a lot about the love of God, and I talk a lot about the grace of God because I've experienced it for myself. But one thing that really happens when you encounter the love of God is suddenly you realize how imperfect you are. And for me, it was a natural reaction. Once I knew that God really loved me, to repent of my sin. I didn't really know that's what it was called, but I knew right away, I feel dirty. I've been doing the wrong things. And sometimes we're hearing a gospel that says that God loves you, which is great, but then there's no repentance. There has to be a turning from what you've been doing. The reason is because God is holy, which is a beautiful thing. Holiness is beautiful. It's perfection, and it's all the beauty. But that also means that the sin, there's no sin with God. There's no sin with Jesus. And so when we follow him, he cleans us up, and he sees us as white as snow, but we still have crud in our lives that we have to work on. And so that's a watering down of the gospel. That's a taking out the nutrients and the minerals and the good things out of the bread of life, Jesus. And the last one I'm going to say is, and you're hearing this a lot today, Jesus is great. Jesus is one way. But there's lots of ways to God. And boy, if you talk about that enough, that will sure make a lot of sense to you. But can I tell you that some things in this life that make a lot of sense up in your head aren't true? And that there's truth. There are things that are true and things that are not. You can convince yourself, wow, it's so great that there's so many different ways to heaven. And they throw Jesus right into the middle of that. But if they knew what Jesus really said, they wouldn't do that. Because that's not what Jesus said. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. This is pretty clear. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one goes to his Father except through Jesus Christ. Now you're going to hear that very few times on the news today. Very little. That Jesus is the answer. Yeah. I loved what I read on Facebook. Now, Steve and Terry Moore, they get a lot of pub around here. Are you, and for good reason. Are you guys here? Where are you guys at? You're not here. Okay. Yes. They're invisible. But I loved the post, and I'm going to kind of say it real quick, Steve, because I wasn't there. This is what I remember. But they feed the homeless down at the park, and there were some other people, and according to what you wrote, it kind of sounded like they were trying to help people too. But it was LGBTQ and Black Lives Matter. Yeah, BLM. Yeah. I love what Steve did. Now, this is bold, but Steve went over and talked to him. And I have to say this. You had a MAGA hat on or a Trump hat. Woo! Woo! Heading into the den. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. Well, I love it. But Steve went over there and just loved on these people. And he said at first that they were antagonistic, as you might imagine. But in the end, from what you wrote, they ended up coming over and having lunch over where you guys were. If this is true, raise your hands. Okay. All right. And Steve went over and shared the love of Jesus with them and spoke to them about Jesus. Now, I just think that's a great example of not being afraid and knowing who Jesus is, knowing who you are in Christ, not watering down the message of Christ, but he's the way and he loves you. And I'm sure Steve was like, not only that, I'm going to show you how I act that Jesus loves you. And that's what he did. I just love that story. I liked it. And I think I commented. So there you go. Yeah. So Jesus is our sustainer of life, the bread of life, both now and forever. Now I want to speak for a moment to someone who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're watching on the internet, Facebook, whatever it might be, social media, or maybe you're here today. And personal relationship, think about a personal relationship with somebody you know. That's what I'm talking about, being able to know Jesus personally so that he's not just a good idea way up high and you're way down here and you're hearing all these weird things about who Jesus is, but that you can actually know Jesus. And if you're interested in what I'm saying today, it's because the Holy Spirit of God, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. God the Holy Spirit has brought that to your mind and to your heart. He's opening that up, which you would not be able to understand unless the Holy Spirit was revealing that to you, because that's what he does. He reveals Jesus. That's what he does. Now, if you're interested, your eyes are beginning to see, your ears are beginning to hear. Jesus is the bread of life. He is how you make it to heaven. He's the bread of life. He's the sustainer of life, both now and forever. You can live forever. He is the bread and the drink for my life. And that's the only way that I came from living a life of alcohol and drug addiction to freedom in the Spirit. And I remember it so well. He took me from death to life because Jesus is the bread of life. I partook of the bread of life, and you can too. And you might say, well, how do I do that? Jesus kind of talked like this. He said, you have to eat my flesh, is what he said, which really sounds strange, and drink my blood. What he was saying was, you have to partake and say, yes, Lord, I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. You were buried, and then you rose from the dead. And because of that, I can live too. And so to partake of that bread is to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new in Jesus' name. It's as simple as that. Simple as that. If you mean it, the Holy Spirit will come and live inside you right then and there, just like that. And you're saved forever. And you're going to have a brand new life. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you're going to have a brand new life. That's partaking of the bread of Jesus. I'm going to say again in verse 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And he's not talking about food and drink. Amen. He's talking about life everlasting. So let's, in this place, let's just bow our heads briefly. And if you're watching over the internet and this is interesting to you, I just want you to listen to this. And we're going to pray a prayer. And it's just what I just said, and we're just going to pray it. And I want you to think about it just for a little bit here. Not a rash decision. I want you to think about it, and I'm going to come back to you. And I want to talk to those today who are afraid. You're seeing things on television that scare you, and some of it is against Christians, and people are getting very angry at Christians at times. You're not sure what's going to happen. We've had a pandemic for months now. We've got some rioting in streets. Seems to be spreading. And you are a little bit afraid. And if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand right where you are. Okay? I love the honesty. I love the honesty. And I will say that I'm not perfect. Sometimes my faith fails. And sometimes I see things on television and it scares me for a moment. And I have to kind of regroup. Say, all right, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help my faith. Help my faith. Help my faith. But I want to tell you today, Jesus is there. Jesus isn't going to leave us. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's there for us. We have to get to know him. Deeper and deeper in these days, we have to say, Jesus, help me. Help my faith. I want to know you more. I want to have peace. I want to do what you tell me to do in these days. And we just, Lord, I just want to thank you for that. Lord, do that in our lives. Give us an increased faith. We're all at a different place. There's no shame in saying that we get afraid sometimes. But Lord, you are our sustainer. You are the bread of life, and you are the one that we are going to partake of in these days. And you're the one in your word that we're going to listen to in these days, because we're hearing a lot of crazy things flying around. Thank you, Lord. Be the bread of life, Lord, to all those within the sound of my voice. Now, if you're a person this morning and you're interested in getting to know Jesus, and possibly for the first time, or maybe you're coming back, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand where you are. Just raise it where you are. You've been thinking about it. Okay? And then over the internet or on social media, if you're thinking about this maybe for the first time, I just want you to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I want to partake of the bread of life. And that's you, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I've done wrong. I want to know you. Come into my life in Jesus' name.